Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and a very special guest whom we'll introduce in just a moment, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, to introduce that very special guest, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are very excited to have with us today Mary DeMuth. She is a writer, a blogger, a former church planner, a very sought-after speaker, and she is the author of a brand new book that she co-authored with our good friend Frank Viola, The Day I Met Jesus. And Mary, welcome to Basic Gospel. It's awesome to have you with us.
Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you are so welcome. You have quite the story to tell. I was looking at your website today, and there's a little video that you have that really introduces your life and kind of the why behind what you do, your writing. And it was a very painful, I think, childhood experience. But out of that, you've seen Jesus make something beautiful. Tell our listeners a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I grew up in a home that I didn't want to duplicate, a difficult family home. My mom was divorced several times. My biological father died when I was 10 years old. And when I was in kindergarten, I had a terrible experience where we had neighborhood boys who raped me for a year. And that finished when I moved away, thankfully. But I felt like I had this mark, that I was marked and that other sexual predators were trying to find me, and they kept trying to. Thankfully, I ran away. So that was kind of the scarring of my childhood, and it caused me to, by the time I was in junior high, I just wanted to take my life. I didn't really want to be alive anymore. Thankfully, I didn't take my life, and by the time I was in the 10th grade, I went to a Young Life weekend camp and heard about Jesus, and that's when I met him for the first time. And it's been a journey of healing from some of those past things ever since then, and learning every day how to be uncaged from that past.
Wow. Well, Mary, at that Young Life camp, when you heard the good news about Jesus Christ, what really struck you about him that said, hey, it's okay to draw near? I mean, with that mark that you carried with you, I think you probably felt a little bit unworthy, unlovable. What about Jesus drew you to him and said it's okay, that you're safe in his arms as opposed to anyone else's?
Well, there was something irresistible about Jesus. And really what they were sharing in that camp was just accounts from the gospel, stories from the gospels about how Jesus interacted with people. And so there was just this desire in me to meet this irresistible Savior. And that's really kind of the message of the book that Frank Viola and I wrote, is this idea of Jesus being kind of out of the box, unexpected, but also just irresistible. The kind of person you'd want to hang out with, the kind of person who would love you no matter what.
And we all need that, don't we? We need somebody that can cut through all of the external, I guess, guards that we put up to protect our hearts, to protect those deeper recesses of our souls. And yet Jesus just has that powerful way of just cutting right through and saying, it's okay, and we can go through life together. And that's the beauty of Christ Jesus, isn't it?
It is. And I don't, I was thinking about that today. I'm doing this Lent art project where I do a piece of art every day. And today's piece of art was a painting of me and Jesus walking on a beach going toward a sunset, and the shadow was casting outward. And in it, I put the lyrics that came from a Matt Redman song that says, never once will you ever walk alone. And I think that's one of the great things about knowing Christ, is that even though you might not feel like, you might feel like you're alone, it's not true. He is always with you.
Yes, he is. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer and Bob Davis. And our special guest today is Mary DeMuth. She's written a wonderful new book, along with our friend Frank Viola, called The Day I Met Jesus, The Revealing Diaries of Five Women from the Gospels. It's certainly a book that you should pick up and read. I think it will touch your heart in a very deep and real way, and to show you a fresh look at the love of Christ Jesus. It's available at our website, basicgospel.net. There are many other ways that you can pick that up as well. But it's The Day I Met Jesus, authored by Frank Viola and Mary DeMuth. Mary, this book is about five different women that Jesus encountered in the gospel accounts. You write about the woman that was caught in adultery. You write about the prostitute who loved too much. You write about the Samaritan woman, the woman that had the issue of, or the flow of blood. And then you write about Mary, Martha and Lazarus's sister. And within telling those stories, share a little bit about how the book came about and what you want readers to take away as they read about these particular women.
Well, this was a book that was envisioned by Frank, and he had written God's Favorite Place on Earth, which was kind of a similar scope where you have narrative story and then kind of an unpacking of that narrative. He'd always really wanted to write one from the perspective of women and some of their stories. And he and I had interacted briefly, and he thought that I only wrote nonfiction. And when he found out that I'm a fiction writer, which is actually what I mostly am, he got excited and he said, "Oh, you need to write this book with me." So the women he had selected were terrific stories. And so we just set out to create the book, and Baker bought it, and we are happy to have it in our hands now.
Yes, indeed. So you kind of take these women, and for example, the woman caught in adultery, her story is just really shared in a few verses right at the end of John 7 and the beginning of John chapter 8. But you kind of fill in some of the backstory as you would have envisioned it, and it's really, really powerful. How did you go about doing that, and really bringing that story to kind of a new life, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never say that what I've written, you know, is more important than scripture, so that whenever we get to the point where we see actual interaction in the scriptures, I'm using the text from, you know, from the Bible. But one of the things that I learned was just as I researched these lives, it occurred to me that these are real women. They're not just characters in a story. They're actual living, breathing women. And so, yes, I imagined their backstory based on research and based on scholarship. It could be right. It might not be right. But it is interesting to think about what could have happened to that woman who is standing in the middle of this angry mob, and Jesus is nearby, and everyone wants to stone her. And how did she get there? And most scholars believe that she was framed because she shows up there, and we never see about the man caught in adultery. We only see about the woman. So we think that there was something going on here, that they were using her to test Jesus. And of course, Jesus passes the test in a really wild and unknowing way that we might not have predicted, in an unpredictable way. But anyway, that was kind of the process of thinking that through. And really, for me, when I'm writing fiction, I'm praying. I'm asking God to show me the next line, to show me the next scene, to show me insight into this woman's character. So that's kind of how I go about it.
Yeah. Well, I thought you did just a marvelous job with it. And when you really get to the text of the story, it kind of like, yeah, this makes sense. And then it still leaves us with all kinds of questions. Why wasn't the man that was involved in this adulterous affair, why was he just left kind of in the shadows, that he is never brought out into the open when the law clearly says that both are to be judged? And yet it was only the woman in this particular case. And the words of Jesus, just, you know, "Neither do I condemn you." What a ringing declaration of freedom. And as you've gone through your ministry, speaking, and just meeting with women on a very consistent basis, Do you meet a lot of women who are just crying out for those same words from Jesus? Neither do I condemn you.
Absolutely. I think, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, you struggle with this idea of self-worth, or whether, in my case, I always kind of wondered why I occupied the little, you know, square foot of earth that I stood on. And so these stories kind of show Jesus going outside the boundaries of social norms to seek out people who are broken. And you see that with the woman at the well, where you have Jesus having a discourse with her that is the longest recorded conversation between Jesus and somebody else in the Gospels. How interesting and how cool is that, that she is this woman who is a Samaritan, which is one strike against her. She's a woman, another strike against her in that culture. And she's a messed up woman. She's got several divorces and all these, this big, long story. And yet Jesus gives her the truth and even reveals his messianship. You know, he's a Messiah. He says, I who am speaking to you am he. I just find that fascinating and beautiful.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that. Do you, you know, you mentioned something there that back in the day, it was really a strike against a person if they were female. They were treated, you know, as second-class citizens by the culture. And even today, that rings true in many parts of the world. And how does the gospel lift women up out of that and give them the dignity and the worth that they deserve and that God created them to experience?
Yeah, I think it does in the person of Jesus Christ, because you see him having these amazing interactions with marginalized women, a prostitute. I mean, think about that. It's pretty amazing to think about this woman who pours her livelihood, her everything that she's earned through prostitution. So she earned the money through prostitution to buy this perfume, and then she pours it on Jesus's feet, and Jesus does not condemn her. He condemns everyone else, but he does not condemn her. And he praises her and basically sets her back on her feet in a way. And so that's where I would go with the Gospels, in the sense that Jesus dignifies women. And so wherever a woman may find herself, if she's in a country where there are laws that condemn her, there is still freedom in her heart for what Jesus can do for her.
Our guest on today's broadcast is Mary DeMuth, the author of The Day I Met Jesus, co-authored with our friend Frank Viola. And it's available from our website at basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-41-BASIC. Again, the book is called The Day I Met Jesus. It's by Mary DeMuth, who is our very, very special guest on today's broadcast.
Yes, she is. And Mary, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs out of chapter 2, and just to show our listeners the type of writing that you bring to the table, and it's really just outstanding. And here's how that chapter starts. It's the diary of a prostitute who loved much. I have learned something powerful and simple. There's a love that transcends worthlessness and the sinful deeds done in darkness. This is what I shout now, and I am forever changed in light of that love. Yet love's opposite, lust, wielded its terrible power over me for too many years. Men had two faces toward me. When others, particularly their wives, were not looking, their eyes held lust. When onlookers surrounded them, they carried disgust. I know both looks well. Lust and disgust. They had become my companions many years on the streets. I just think that's just powerful writing, Mary, and it just draws you right in. And I think it really captures a person's heart. I think somebody reading that can say, I know what that is. I know what that feels like. I know, and even a man looking at this can say, I know that look that I give to women. I know what that's all about. And boy, if I could be set free from that as well. So I think you do an outstanding job really touching on the real deep core issues that we live with each and every day of our life. So hats off to you for great writing here, Mary.
Well, thank you. It was such a joy to write. And I, as I said before, I just love writing stories. It's really my wheelhouse. So when Frank approached me about it, I was very thrilled.
Well, that is just wonderful. And one of the things that you say later on in the book, and it's a great line, it says, "Only one man's opinion seemed worth my pursuit, and his name is Jesus." I underlined that and said, "Wow, that's something for us all to hold on to." What do you hope people will take away from the book after they've read the book? What would you like for them to know?
I would like them to see Jesus in a new way, or to maybe encounter him through these stories, where they might stick their feet into the sandals of these women and just capture and understand how very different Jesus is from us. That he's just so other, as some theologians have called him, the otherness of God, and the beauty and the love that he has for all of us, despite our shortcomings, despite our hurts, despite the long list of sins that we look back on, he still loves us. His sacrifice on the cross is enough. It covers everything. And so that's my hope, is that people will fall in love with Jesus all the more after reading this book.
Well, you tell the story in story form. How is storytelling kind of lost its art, I think, in our Western culture? And why is there such a need to bring it back and to have people engage with Jesus through story rather than just propositions, as we've come to share the message in our Western society?
Yeah, we tend to have spiritual points and things like that, but we remember, as a human, we remember story more than we remember didactic thought. And I'm married to a theologian, so I'm not dissing theology at all. But I think if you can wrap theology in a story, you're not only going to capture your audience, but they're going to remember that theological truth in the context of the story, which is why Jesus told parables. We remember. We may not have the Sermon on the Mount memorized, but we remember the parables. We remember that widow, the story of the widow and the widow's mite. We remember the prodigal son. These stories will stay with us forever because they have a way of enticing the imagination, and that's why I think we need to get back to story. I know when I'm sitting, I go to a great church in Texas, and I love my pastor, and I will be sitting there, and I'll be taking notes, but the moment he start saying a story, I am immediately reawakened and want to hear more. And when I walk away from that sermon, what typically I will remember is the story that he told.
Do you find yourself wanting to find your place within the story? Do you feel like it story better shapes kind of decisions that we make in the future, as opposed to just the 3 points in a poem, so to speak, that we get from most talks? I find that's what helps me more than anything in life, as far as decision making is concerned, is what's my place in this story? What character am I living out? And if I am that character, it just makes sense for this to be the action that happens at this point in time. Is that how story impacts you? And
it does. I like the way that you've put that. It's very articulate. For me, it's also about learning to have empathy for other people. So I think that's the other power of story, is when you read these stories of these women in the New Testament, suddenly you have empathy for a prostitute where you might not have ever had that before. You might drive by a prostitute and think, oh, that poor girl or whatever. But now that you're in their story, you realize this is not something she chose. And this is actually quite painful. And when we have empathy for other people, we're much more apt to show them the love of Jesus. And that's the gospel. We love God with all our hearts and we love others. And so what story helps us to do is to have empathy for the other people that walk this earth.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Our special guest today is Mary DeMuth. She's written a wonderful new book, The Day I Met Jesus. You're also the author of how many other books, Mary? You're a prolific writer, and you have
29 now.
29 books. And how many of those are fictional books, and how many are nonfiction?
I think I'm at like 7 or 8 fiction, and then the rest are nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
So that, although they're my first love, I write more nonfiction.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. You write about 5 particular women that met Jesus in the gospel accounts. Of the 5 that you write about in this particular book, was there one that you most related to, that resonated with you and your story more than the others?
Yeah, I actually think I've gone back and forth on this question, actually, but today I will say Mary of Bethany. And what I love about her is that she's kind of the good girl who tries to do everything right, and Jesus notices that. And I think a lot of us, we try so hard and we don't know, does Jesus notice that I'm really wanting to know him and that I'm really pressing toward him? And I know for me in my high school years and my college years, people made fun of my zeal for Christ. They thought I was crazy or was overzealous. And here's Mary of Bethany sitting at the feet of Jesus in the place where a disciple would sit at a teacher's feet, only a boy disciple, not a girl disciple, sitting in a room where only men were permitted. And she does not care at all, and she listens and receives theological training, basically at the foot of Jesus, and he does not make fun of her for that. In fact, he praises her for that and tells Martha that she's chosen actually the better part than all the frenetic activity, that she, this devotion that she has is good. And so for those of you out there who feel like you're unnoticed or you're trying so hard to just love Jesus really well, he does notice that, and he praises that in you, and that should be an encouragement to you today.
Mary has a wonderful website. It's you'll find it at marydemuth.com, and the spelling, of course, is D-E-M-U-T-H, marydemuth.com. And at the website, you'll have an opportunity to kind of plug into her blog. She has an online store with her materials there. There's an opportunity also to engage in her podcast, Call Ungaged. So again, that's at marydemuth.com.
Yes, indeed. And you, your purpose in writing all that you do is to help people find their wings, right? That's, you know, we have all these obstacles that are holding us back, that are keeping us down. And, you know, for me in my life, you know, my constant companions were fear and guilt. And everywhere I was, they were. You know, I just couldn't shed them until I finally knew Christ. And then in shedding those, I gained a freedom and a sense of this is what life is really supposed to be. And I know that's a passion of yours, to help women in particular find their wings and experience freedom in Christ. Well, Mary, we're so grateful that you've joined us on today's broadcast. How else can they find your book, The Day I Met Jesus?
We're offering a special of 50% off if they buy the book on parable.com, and they can do that until the 17th of March, and they'll get 7 bonuses, including a bunch of free ebooks and ways to grow in Christ. So they can get it at parable.com if they want to learn more about The Day I Met Jesus. We have a website called thedayimetjesus.com.
Well, Mary, thank you again so much for being a part of today's broadcast.
Yes,
we were thrilled to have you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, we're just about out of time for this edition, everybody. Again, we want to say heartfelt thanks to each of you who has supported Basic Gospel with your prayers and your financial gifts. It truly is a partnership, and your support, of course, is the fuel that keeps the message of the grace of God on the airwaves and online through Basic Gospel. We hope you'll continue to help us get the word out. And for each of you who can make a gift to Basic Gospel at this particular time, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's popular book, The Naked Gospel, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. The online support link is available in the menu at basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 412-2742 or 844-41-BASIC. And as I always say, may God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, and with special thanks to Mary DeMuth for being on with us today, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.